The message this morning, our inheritance in Christ. Our inheritance in Christ. Ephesians chapter number 1, and we'll begin in verse number 10 and read through verse number 14 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Father, we come today to rejoice in our Savior, and Father, all that has been purchased for us. And Lord, we stand in awe of thee, in what we have obtained through his lovely name. Father, we come today to rejoice in the peace and rest and comfort that's ours. We come to rejoice, Father, in the sweet consolations, Lord, the hope and joy that fills our soul because of what Jesus has purchased for us. And God, we come today and we plead now that you might be with us in that special way, that your power of your Spirit might move in our hearts and lives today to call us unto this hope in Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd make it real unto us, that we might be truly affected, that we might be changed by the power of the Word of God. Lord, I do pray now for that person that may be here, dear God, that is not saved. God, I pray now, would you speak to their heart? Lord, would you draw them unto Christ this morning. And I pray for all Christians that are assembled. And I pray especially for those who may be seated here in the house of God and yet, Lord, not in the place of fellowship. God, I pray you bring them back to that sweet place of fellowship. And I pray, God, they might, Father, Lord, lay aside all those things that do hinder this day. God, bless us. Now meet with us. We'll give you all the praise and honor for it. For we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Our inheritance in Christ. The Apostle Paul introduces this profound letter, letting us see, unveiling for us, that God has always had a great eternal plan. God did not speak the world in existence and create all things and fold his arm to watch and see what would happen. God has always been working in the midst of this world because he has a plan and purpose for all that he has done. God is not simply a reactionary to what man does, but he is ahead of man and knows what man will do before he does it. And so God's plan is never threatened, and his will be carried out. And it's important that we understand the great will of God. And here we understand also that Jesus Christ has given us a will that we also can inherit and we can receive through that which he has obtained. And so the Bible says here that we have obtained an inheritance. That inheritance is that which belongs to Christ, but he has chosen to give it unto us. And that we become joint heirs together with Christ. What an amazing thought. That all things that he has accomplished and the victory that's his and all the spoils and fruits of his virtues, he has extended to you and I by faith, and we can receive it unto ourselves. What an amazing truth we have in him. As you and I look in verse number 10, we read that time will run its course. There is a beginning, and there is an ending. God has told us in the beginning God, and God created, and God started it all. But also the Bible tells us there will come an end to these things. And listen, God has established a calendar of events, and God has established days that He has decreed will come to pass, and men may not rejoice in it, may not believe in it, may fight against it, but God always has the last word. And Jesus Christ said He is the first and the last, that He is the beginning and the ending. And so God is letting you in on something that is astounding. He's helping to stabilize your life by giving you the great prophecy of all things that will culminate to a purpose. It certainly is a great benefit for us to know how something is going to end ahead of time. Isn't that amazing? In this great book, God is letting you know what's going to happen ahead of time. That's remarkable. What greater preparation could we make if we knew what was going to happen before it happened? As I mentioned, in life, sometimes that would come in handy. Sometimes I'm glad I do not know. But certainly, one thing I do know, that if I understood what was going to happen in days ahead, it would assist me in making the right preparations. And so, we find in verse 10 that things are going to run its course, and we find what God's going to do, that in the dispensation, that is a special period, of the fullness of times, when time has run its course, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. So God is telling you what's going to be in the end. What's going to happen when all time comes and all this great plan and purpose of God in creation? When it runs its course, God has a plan. What is the end result? What is God going to accomplish? What's He going to do? The Bible tells you that He's going to gather all things that are in Christ. He's going to gather all that together. That gathering, of course, is for His possession. It is for His safekeeping. When God gathers this together, it brings in the eternal aspect of this truth. That God created the world, and what He created was material. And because it's material, it is also temporal. That means it was not designed to last forever. The material things of life do not last forever. God established that. It doesn't take a whole lot of sense to realize that in the creation of God, that the things we look at that help support and maintain life, do not have a permanency. I'll give you an example. The sun is a burning ball of fire. That is, it is consuming its fuel. The sun was not designed to be an eternal light and eternal warmth. It's going to run its course. And so that's the nature of material physical things. And so God in the process, God who is eternal, is going to gather all things in Christ because the rest of it will perish. It is corruptible. It will meet its final end. And so what we have here is a gathering or a separation. When this thing all comes to its end, when it all culminates in God's purpose, we find here that there is a gathering, there is a separation. There are things that God takes unto Himself from the midst of it. And those things are identified, the things in Christ. And so we find here that there is a coming separation, there's a gathering of things spiritual from things material, of things corruptible, and that which is incorruptible, things temporal, things eternal. And so God has this great plan. Now, number one, in our scripture here, the text reveals the true intent of this gathering. This gathering is concerning all things in Christ, all things that are of Him, all things that were wrought and purchased by Him, all things that His name has inspired, has been touched with the blessing and glory of eternity. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, listen, was God in human flesh. We know Jesus Christ was eternal. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. That is, that Jesus Christ revealed His preexistence with God the Father before the world began. He is God the Son. He is God eternal. And everything that Jesus has touched, He is able to give an eternal aspect and eternal glory. He came to give life. But that life wasn't temporal life. It was eternal life. And so, the gathering in Christ are all things in relationship to Him, all things that His name has inspired. You know what Jesus promised? Listen, He promised when Mary brought that sacrifice and anointed Him, and it upset the rest of them, they thought it was a waste. Jesus said that this shall be a memorial for her forever. Do you know what Jesus said? Listen, that those things that were done in His name, that would not be forgotten, but they would receive that great eternal reward. Do you know the things that are done for the Lord Jesus Christ, things that He has inspired for men to give and to sacrifice men to do for His honor and glory, God has touched them with an eternal nature such that they will never be forgotten, but shall bring an eternal reward. Even a cup of cold water given in His name, when His name is attached to it, His glory was attached to it, His name inspired it, it has an eternal virtue connected to it. And so this gathering is a gathering of souls, a gathering of lives, but also it's a gathering of works and deeds and virtues that are associated with His name that He has inspired. All things His power has redeemed. All persons He has saved, He has sanctified with the touch of eternity. And listen, the inheritance is that which He has purchased. The inheritance is that which He has obtained, that which was His power, His glory, His righteousness, His obedience, His sacrifice, listen, His faithfulness, His victory. God the Father is going to honor the Son, and listen, God the Father is going to give all things unto Him because He's worthy, because He is the sinless one. He is the faithful one. He's the obedient one. He was the perfect one. He obeyed the Father. He walked in truth. He walked in the perfect will of God. And He has wrought for Himself a great victory. And the Father is going to give it all unto the Son, for He's earned it. But you know what He's going to do? He's going to gather all those things that He has purchased, all the things He's wrought, and listen, as part of the great reward, such that you and I shall be to the praise of His glory throughout all eternity. And so here's what's amazing for you and I that are saved today. God has told us that we are joint heirs with Him. That God has chosen to will to you that which He Himself has purchased. That benefit, that reward, that honor, that glory has extended to those who have trusted in Him. It's amazing when you and I consider that where God found me, I was nothing. Where God found me, I was unworthy. Where God found me in shame, God found me in sin, God found me in corruption. But He was willing, listen, to save me when I called upon Him. But not only did He save me, but listen, He has given me a seat at His table. God has given me citizenship in His eternal city. God has gone to prepare a place for me. And everything Jesus has wrought, the victory that's His, the things that He fought for, and the battle that He won, and the blood that He shed, and all the victory that's His, He has chosen to give the spoils to you and to me. What an inheritance we have in Christ. But understand, The text also reveals the true impact of this gathering. Because you'll find all through the Scripture in chapter 1, you'll find those personal pronouns of we and us and ours. That only belongs to those who have trusted in Him. If you notice, the Bible said that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And the fact that we trusted, verse 13, after that we heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you and I heard the gospel of Christ and we placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we trusted Him with our hearts, with our souls, and with our lives. And listen, because of that, you and I have become joint heirs and we will be part of this great gathering together under Christ. But the impact of that gathering is that some, many, will not be included. I come, listen, to call to task those who are great deceivers across the pulpits of America today, who have offered a universal salvation to men because of the merits of your righteousness. I'm going to tell you, that is a lie from the devil himself. For the Bible tells us, listen, that apart from receiving Jesus Christ, all men are headed for destruction. That's the truth of the Scripture. You must be saved. You must be born again. There's going to be a great separation. Matter of fact, the Bible indicates the severity of this separation. It says in Matthew 7, in verse 14, Jesus was preaching, and He said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus used those words, "few there be that find it." Why? Because most head down the broad road of self-righteousness. But it's the sinner who recognized he had no righteousness and called upon Jesus Christ and trusted Him to be the Savior are the few that find it. Most simply do not find it. Most hope in their merits, their goodness. They're hoping for all their good life and how they've lived. But those who find it understand that God be merciful to me, for I am a sinner, for I have transgressed the law of God. I've sinned against heaven. I've not done the will of God. I've lived for myself. I've been selfish and I've been lustful. And listen, my ways have been ways of transgression. And listen, when the person finds and discovers and confesses that he's a sinner, and God, my only hope is Christ to be saved. And save me, Lord Jesus. Wash me in that blood. Forgive me of that sin. Be my Savior. Those are the ones who have found the narrow road to life. Such that Jesus said also a few verses later, "Not everyone that saith me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We could go on in the Scriptures. There's coming a great separation. A great separation. Certainly, it's unpleasant to those who do not have the peace of God in their souls and cannot sing blessed assurance, have not tasted the good grace of God. In the parables of Matthew 13, Jesus was teaching about these times. And He emphasized the separation. There's going to come a day that separates between the sheep and the goats. You remember Jesus illustrated that also. Listen, when the harvest time came and there was the wheat and there were the tares. Remember what was remarkable about that illustration was the fact that the tares looked the same at the wheat until, listen, harvest time. God knows the wheat from the tares. Separates the two. We understand that Jesus taught about the last time. It'd be like the parable of the net. When the net was dragged out in the sea and when they brought the fishes in, what'd they do? Listen, they started throwing the stuff out that's no good and keeping that which is good. The great net sweeps through the world of human history and gathers all things in Christ. Whatever hidden is cast aside. We find, listen, the great treasure that was buried in the field. We find, through all those oysters, the pearl of great price was found. And so there is a separation. And so the impact here of this text is the fact that that gathering does not include all. That gathering only includes those that are in Christ Jesus. And so God has revealed to us the end time. God has showed us what His great purpose is. And God has given all this information before it happens so that we might make preparation, that we might be included. And so we sing the song, He included me. And listen, God intended to include you, for Jesus paid the debt of your sin. But it's to those who have trusted in Christ. Listen, that will make up this great assembly, this great gathering. And so, I find here that this text reveals the intent of the gathering, then the impact of it, but also the inspiration of the gathering. In verse number 14, he tells us that which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. That is, that the Holy Ghost was sent. You know what this is? This is the first installment of God's great inheritance. That first installment. That is, God showing, confirming to you that He indeed was going to keep His commitment and His promise to us. He already began that process by giving you a little bit before the time and before the great day when we receive all things in Christ. He has given of Christ already, and the things that belong to Him, He has given us of the Holy Spirit of God and sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God to show that God will keep that which He's committed. And so the Spirit of God now seals the believer. And listen, it is the Holy Spirit of God that comes in and begins this great work of preparation. You know who's preparing me for eternity? The Holy Spirit's working in me. That's who's getting me ready. The Spirit of the living God. He is, listen, the one who guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit every day. You know what the Holy Spirit's work is every day? To turn you towards the truth. We're not naturally turned that way, right? I mean, listen, the world, flesh, and the devil comes, and the Holy Spirit's always turning you back toward truth. The Holy Spirit of God is making preparation. You see, God's will for your life is to make you perfect, to change you, to make you like in Himself, to make you the image of Christ. And so God, listen, put the Spirit of God in you and seal Him the day of redemption. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to perform that great work of transformation of your life. And listen, the transformation has begun. If you're born again, if you trusted Christ, the transformation has already started, for God has done a work in you, placed the Holy Ghost. He sealed the Holy Ghost inside of you to bring about this great purpose. And guess what? Thank God, you and I that are saved, we haven't been made perfect yet, but we have been changed. And listen, I've got a long way to go, but I know I've headed down that road, for God turned me around years ago and changed my course, changed my direction, changed my desires, changed my ambition, changed my view of life. And why? It's God who did that. It's God who started it. God's already put that power in you. He's put the seed in you to transform it and to show you that He started changing you, getting you fit for eternity already. And so, listen, that's God's confirmation that He was serious about this matter, that He was committed to it, that He is going to bring you unto Himself. He's going to bring you unto Himself in perfection. He's going to give you eternal life, and already has. And He gave a down payment, an earnest, a first commitment of the Holy Spirit of God to begin this great transformation in our life. I want you to see an illustration before I run out of time. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 31. I was reading about this and I happened to run across this story about Jacob. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac's son was Jacob. You remember the story of Jacob, how that he, because he desired spiritual things, he wanted that birthright blessing. Esau despised it. Jacob wanted it. Jacob was a man of faith, even though he's full of flesh. He was a man of faith. He believed in God. You remember he separated after his brother went after to kill him. He separated and he went unto his distant relatives. And you remember he was out there one day and he fell in love. And you remember Laban. Laban was the father-in-law. You remember how Laban was a man of the world. Listen. Laban said sweet things, but that's not what he did. Laban knew what he was doing. He knew, he saw love in his eyes, knew he could use it to his advantage. And he's a man of the world, Laban is. He's a conniver. He's a rascal. He's a deceiver. And so sure enough, you know what he does? We find that Jacob works for Rachel for 7 years. And listen, on the wedding night, guess what? It ain't Rachel. It's her sister Leah. Now he comes to make his complaint to Laban about our deal. And he said, now listen, you can't have her first because, listen, Leah's the older one. And so what does it say? 7 more years. 7 more years. What a man will do for love. 7 more years to work for him. But I want you to see what happened in chapter 31. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's, hath he gotten all this glory. Look what happened. All of a sudden, there's a reversal. There's a reversal. He was treated in such a horrible fashion. Lied to, deceived, cheated. Matter of fact, you'll find the text. Jacob said, he changed my wages 10 times. He didn't get a raise. Okay, went down. Lied to me, deceived me. Here's what happened. Jacob came to his father and said, now, listen, what's my wages? I worked for you all this and I don't get anything. And so here's what he did. He made an agreement with him that when the livestock, when it came out straight or striped, spotted, whatever, I'll let those be yours. You know what God did? God changed that situation so that everything that was born came out that way. And now they look up and here's what they see. Everything that used to be our dad's now, Jacob's got it all. Jacob's got, he's got the flocks, the herds, he's got the whole thing. And look what happened. We find that Jacob looked in his father's face and realized things were not too kosher here at the house. And notice what it says. It says in verse number 5, and he said, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father have been with me. And you know that with all my power I've served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckle. And he said, if the ring strike shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring strike. Thus God, look at this, thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And so here we find Jacob. He's a man of faith. He's in the midst of the world. He served this man all these years, been lied to, cheated, connived, taken advantage of. But in the midst of it, God has turned the tables and God has put His blessing upon him. And now all these things are beginning to become his and has created quite a stir. Now look in verse number 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, are ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee from this land, and return to the land of thy father. And here's what I want you to see. Now he's having discussion with his wives and his family. It's time to go. It's time to go. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, it's time for you to go. You're going back to the homeland. And listen. And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. Notice what she said. She said, listen, God has been with thee. And all these things that used to be our fathers and our families, God's given it all to you. And when he said and broke the news to them that we're leaving and we're going back to the land of promise where God has told us to come, you know what those girls said? We don't have any inheritance here anymore. Our inheritance is with you. And so they said, whatever God said do, they were fully behind it. You know, when I read that story, it blessed my heart. You know why? Because in this world, and all the things of this world, everything that has value, everything that has eternal value, it's been given to Jesus Christ.
thank God, when I look upon the world, you know what I see? When all things of Christ are removed, everything's left is nothing but corruption and perishing. In other words, if you want something in your future, you better go with Jesus. Amen. Because everything's been given to Him. It's all Him. You know what Leah said to Rachel? Honey, we're going with you. Aren't we treated like strangers here anymore? Aren't we treated like strangers? Is there anything left here to stay for? No. Honey, we're going with you. And Leah and Rachel were ready and willing to go with him and head back to the land of promise. You know why? Because God had blessed him and God had given him all those things. Our inheritance for ourselves, our inheritance for our children is not here. Our inheritance and our inheritance for our children is in you. And so they went with him. I want to tell you something, my friend. God, one of these days, in the fullness of time, God has given everything to Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that's deserved it. It's all his. It's all, and everything else is going to perish. And he's going to gather it all unto him. And listen, what do you have? What inheritance do you have in the future? In things that perish, things corruptible. Is there anything left? My friend, if you want the riches and glory and wonder of eternity, then you better go with Jesus. Because all authority, all power has been vested in him, and all things belong to him. Let me give you a couple of verses. We'll close. The Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You see, my friend, outside of Jesus, there ain't nothing on this earth worth living for. Because what inheritance are you going to have when the fullness of time comes? You can be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You see, this truth not only moves the heart of that person who's not received Jesus Christ, but also moves my heart to make me stop and adjust the priorities and values of my life. Because we spend so much time on things that matter the least. And the things that matter the most will have an eternal benefit in our life. What you do for the Lord Jesus shall be an eternal reward. An eternal reward. All things Christ. All things purchased by Him. All things inspired by Him. All things wrought by Him have an eternal reward. And God, help me as a Christian. Lord, help me to invest in my future, to invest in my eternity, in my sweet fellowship with Jesus, and in my life and service I render to Him. Listen, it shall come back to be a great inheritance that God has offered unto those who will put their trust in Jesus. I deserve none of it. He deserves it all. But it's He who has offered to you a joint heir with Him and to receive the spoils of His great victory.